Alright, welcome members, Adam plugging in here on Monday night, the 18th of July 2022 for the Nightwatch podcast with Adam. Just to cover all the latest, whatever is in front of me, I hope you guys are doing fine out there, wherever you may be, as we move forward into 2022. Strange times, strange days. Boy, but we buckle up and we stay positive, strong, and we move forward in the best way that we know how. And we keep researching and learning. And that's the best thing we can do. And there's always so much coming out, folks. Unbelievable. The Telegram channel today is white hot. Lots going on. Check out the members area, you know, and the chat room there. There's lots of good stuff going up as well. And thanks so much for your ongoing support and supporting me here on the ground in Sydney, Australia, and Real Alternative Media. Got a few podcasts coming up this week. With Dawn and others, so they should be good, and this gives me a chance to just plug in and go over the latest news and views, and whether it's alternative media or mainstream media, I'll plug over it here and give it a go. There's always plenty going on, folks, I tell you, my goodness me. I've saved a couple of articles anyway to tear through as quickly as I can. And all over the place as well, all over the place. There's just so much going up, you know, as I said, on social media, on our Telegram, everywhere, it's hard to keep up when you're going on other Telegram channels, it's just pumped out all the time. Boy, and I know a lot of folks, would be missing a lot of this, you know, it's just, over the years, doing this, I've become pretty good at just saving things, and I'll just plug in here and go over what I think's interesting anyway. This one from ABC News Australia went up on Dave O'Neig's Telegram channel, I think. Australia has ordered millions more COVID vaccines than it needs. What are the options to deal with them? This is a classic. So, it's a really weird situation, isn't it? When we were thinking of it to ourselves last year. Why are they ordering enough COVID shots for everybody in the country to have like 10 of them? They did this in Canada and many other countries as well. And it's like, what are they going to do with this? The health officials are back and the experts are back as well, mind you, in this article. They're assessing what to do with tens of millions of COVID-19 vaccines Australia has purchased, but doesn't need anymore, with concerns that they simply may go to waste. Oh, I'm heartbroken. I guess they could send them back to hell. Or we could have a public ritual kind of thing where we inject them into these health ministers like Dr. Kerry Chant and clowns like Brad Hazard and all these people that push the jabs and all the politicians and stuff. We could just keep injecting them until all the jabs are gone into their bodies. Of the roughly 255 million vaccine doses the federal government has purchased, less than a quarter, roughly 60 million, have been administered around the country. So a further roughly 40 million doses have been donated around the Indo-Pacific region. Of course they have. Some vaccine supplies, Novavax, have hardly been touched. Even with the increased uptake of fourth doses, Australia will be left with an enormous number of vaccines purchased but not required. Well, don't worry, they purchased those with our tax money. That's okay. Thanks, ScoMo. And as variant-specific vaccines are procured and rolled out. So Health Minister Mark Butler, never heard of him, has ordered a review of Australia's vaccine agreements to be led by former Health Department Secretary Jane Holton. Well, this sounds fair, doesn't it? This whore of the WHO is with the stupid-looking glasses on, this stupid bitch, this creepy, disgusting murderer. She's going to be sitting on the board. They're just unbelievable, these people. They make me sick. And they're all going to come to their own conclusions. And unbelievable, Jane Holton, this venomous, disgusting snake. Have you had a look at this putrid entity? Absolutely disgusting creature. The worst kind. Just completely corrupt and criminal, tied up with Bill Gates and all these Schwab and UN and WHO and all of them, absolutely disgusting. And getting paid massive amounts of money too from our pockets. They're going to have meetings and get paid millions of dollars to discuss the excess vaccine supplies. If it does turn out what we have is a surplus, then I'd want to have a range of options in front of us as to what to do with any surplus vaccines we were contradictorily required to take, or contractually. He told a press conference announcing the review. The federal government bought a range of vaccine options to provide cover should one or more fail to work, and built into that plan was the likelihood that if most worked, there would be plenty of doses left over. Some experts argue while the early months of the pandemic were undoubtedly filled with uncertainty, it is clear Australia and other rich nations ordered far too many vaccines. What's going on here, folks? Isn't it weird? They argue the over-ordering of vaccines starved poorer countries of early access to doses, and those countries are still very slowly catching up. And with a glut of vaccines across the globe, they now might not have anywhere to go. One of Australia's largest vaccine deals with Novavax, securing 51 million doses of the protein-based vaccine, but Australian Immunisation Register figures show that supply has barely been touched. Also, Australia has donated more than 40 million doses with the Indo-Pacific and through the UNICEF, which are a bunch of pedophile murderers. .3% been administered. Did Australia buy too many vaccines? Australia was hardly alone in looking to lock in a range of different vaccine deals during 2020 and ordering more than enough to cover the population a few times over, well, 100 times over. It was always made clear that there had to be contingencies in place in case certain vaccines did not work out. But Deborah Gleason from La Trobe University's Satanic Monsters argued even after accounting for the uncertainty of 2020, it was clear the government ordered too many. Really? You fucking idiot. Australia really participated in a bigger trend that we've seen worldwide of wealthy countries buying up far more doses of COVID-19 vaccines than they needed. And this practice has continued. Others are more generous about the government's approach. Australian Global Health Alliance Chair Brendan Crabb said in the earlier months, God, that guy's disgusting, earlier months of the pandemic, the government needed a range of vaccines. I'm easy on the government in this respect, he says. I bet you are, you fucking dickhead. In the emergency of a pandemic, it makes sense to have given ourselves a lot of options. Well, why don't you take him, you wanker? Why don't you go and shove him into your backside, you dickhead? But we do need, this person's really creepy and evil, folks, but we do need to review that very closely and decide how we can do better next time. Ah, so they're telling you already that there's a next time. I get it, right. So they're already telling you there's a next time, because there's nothing more tragic than to throw out life-saving vials of vaccines. This disgusting, evil, putrid monster says to the ABC, or told the ABC, have you had a look at this guy? He's got the most evil eyes. Anyway, there you go. So really interesting, and that goes on, and there's a bunch of stupid morons here talking about what they're going to do with it. Well, I guess they're pushing the fourth shot now, so they could try and get rid of the four ones, the fourth one, on each individual person. Now they're looking at the Omicron boosters. They're tailoring COVID shots in the face of new variants. So where's my Omicron booster? People will be demanding. Don't worry, slaves. I'm sure they've got a lot of boosters and a lot of new vaccines coming. They're working on them now. The pharmaceutical corporations don't care. They did their deal, didn't they? They did their deal with the Australian government to waste our money. And look where we are now. Unbelievable. Here's another article from the same news outlet. Australia sees record COVID-19 cases, hospital admissions due to Omicron variants, influenza as nation's hospitals struggle. This is popping up everywhere. So a mix of covering for the vaccine damage and the deaths, and also just completely lying that this is happening. So they're telling you here that this is a repeat of 2020 and the demand in hospitals, which didn't happen in 2020. There wasn't any demand on hospitals. They were empty. There was no one in them. It was all a psyop. So now, anyway, the flu's back, and it's mixed with COVID-19, as we know, and it's all the healthcare workers, and they're at breaking points, and the hospitals are about to explode. And they're battling the flu now, but they're putting the flu before COVID-19. Unbelievable. So they're telling you that these Omicron fake variants are increasing in Melbourne and in South Australia and everywhere, and record numbers of Australians are being hospitalised and getting sick and dying with more infections as it sweeps across the state again. And on and on and on it goes. It really is the never-ending story, isn't it? They're telling you that all the Queensland hospital beds are full and all of this. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Fresh calls to reinstate mask mandates in Western Australia. The health workers are calling for the return of mask mandates amid reports by the nursing union that patients are being treated in corridors. So they're looking at that. They're saying that... we're all basically selfish and lost it and living in the dark ages because we're not wearing the masks again. The experts are back. We all should be wearing masks indoors. It's a very simple example to set, they're saying, and all of this. New South Wales recording more than 9,000 new cases. Northern Territory recording more cases. Tasmania recording more cases and more infections. Incredible, isn't it? So, as we always say, not only are we still here, they're going to bring all this back in again, I think. Either that or it's just scare tactics. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What can I say, folks? These articles are going to be all over the place tonight because they're all mixed. Sorry about that, folks. This one from news.com.au, there's a whole bunch of them. Canberra in Australia will ban new petrol cars from 2035 in a bid to squash carbon emissions. So motorists will be banned from purchasing new fossil fuel vehicles in the nation's capital from 2035 in an Australian first. Canberra will become the first jurisdiction to mandate that all new cars must be electric. All other states are expected to follow. And Minister for Emissions Reduction Shane Rattenbury said the new rules will apply to new cars, motorcycles and small trucks. Our intent is that from 2035 you will not be able to put new cars on the road, he said. But the government does not intend to take your car off the road if you're driving around in an all-petrol vehicle at the start of the year. But there's an even earlier target that the ACT wants to hit by 2030. By that time, it wants 80-90% of the new light vehicles sold to be zero-emission models. Interest-free loans of up to $15,000 are already on offer to buy electric cars in the ACT, which has a higher take-up rate than other states because they're all brainwashed down there. They love daddy government in the ACT. A completely fake and manufactured, weird place where everybody listens to 666 ABC radio. And they've got this pyramid on the hill filled with child molesting Freemasons. But believe me, these electric cars are useless. They cost 10 times more money to run them. They hardly get any mileage. There's nothing but problems with these things. It's an absolute disaster. So here we go, folks, zero emissions. So this is probably the big news of the day. So if you buy ZEV, new or used, you'll get 2 years free ACT vehicle registration. So thanks for that. That's wonderful. Eligible households can access up to $15,000 to buy an electric vehicle under the Sustainable Household Scheme zero interest loans. They're going to be throwing out money everywhere. They're going to be crushing all the old petrol cars like they crushed everybody's guns after Port Arthur. Wonder what people are going to do who collect cars or want to have old cars, this kind of thing. I guess they're just going to make it impossible and just such high taxes. So the UK government has already announced plans to ban the sale of new petrol and diesel vehicles from 2030. It's coming down the line fast, folks. We're 2023 next year. It's not far away. The European Union has also prepared a draft legislation to ban the sale of new fossil fuel cars by the year 2035. Same with Singapore. We are going to be force-fed with incentives to go electric. And they will be exempt from taxes as well, like the import tariff that will reduce the cost of a $40,000 vehicle by $2,000. They will also be exempt from fringe benefits tax, which will encourage workplaces to give their employees electric cars. They're telling you that the result in savings of up to $8,000 for a $50,000 vehicle, but believe me, running that vehicle over the year or whatever it is going to cost you 10 times that amount. They're rubbish, folks. They're rubbish. Just going through my emails anyway. All the latest news spilling out into the emails. This was interesting because the criminal, the corrupt Victorian Police Department or VicPol, these disgusting, brutal New World Order thugs, they're dropping all their fake charges now. You know, everything that they did to people in the last 2 years was completely criminal, illegal, and wrong at every level. And they didn't care because they're taking orders from outside the country from very, very powerful, very, very powerful people, you know. And where is it here? Isn't it going to let me read? Reignite Democracy Australia. Breaking news. Police are dropping incitement charges. So this was to do with Monica Smith. In September 2021, she was arrested for encouraging people to exercise their human rights to protest. She was given draconian bail conditions, which she refused to sign, and she spent over 20 days in solitary confinement in maximum security prison. She appealed the bail conditions and won and was released to continue work, and then the police got a warrant to force her to provide them with all the passwords to all her phone apps and everything. The punishment for not complying is 5 years in prison. She refused to comply, and now the police VicPol have dropped all the charges. The Director of Public Prosecutions has decided to discontinue the incitement charges on the basis that they don't have anything and it's all illegal what they're doing and they're a bunch of fucking criminals and there is no longer any public interest in pursuing these because you fucking mongrels, your job for the New World Order was to get needles into arms and scare the shit out of everybody. And you've done that, so now you're backing off. And you know that everything you've done is illegal and criminal, but who's going to hold them to account? They work for the New World Order, these thugs in black. So they get away with absolute murder in broad daylight. And so they're dropping everything, folks. There you go, that was just a quick one. But they're dropping everything. They're dropping everything. It's all gone. Because there's nothing to back any of it up. It's all fake. It's all a con. It's all a lie, the whole thing. Everything they did was criminal behaviour. And they got away with it. And it just shows you where we're living. Shows you where we're living. VicPol. Criminals. Absolute scum of the earth. This is popping up as well from Nine News. This one's popping up in the Australian media everywhere. And they're telling you, don't worry. It's only a little bit of a fraction of a thing. You don't have to worry about it. But they're putting it out there because it's becoming so overwhelming. COVID-19 vaccines affected 42% of women's menstrual cycles, a study has shown. So the COVID-19 vaccines were found to affect about 42% of women's menstrual cycles in a study run by the Washington University, the study which sought to shed light on reports of unusual menstrual bleeding. We've been hearing about this since day one after receiving the SARS-CoV-2 jabs. Surveyed more than 39,000 adults online after they were double vaccinated against the virus. What virus? You were poisoned for absolutely no reason. It found that 42% of people with regular menstrual cycles bled more heavily during their period after having the jabs than they had previously. And imagine what they're hiding as well. They're also telling you here how many Australians are having short-term reactions to the COVID-19 vaccines, but don't worry, it's not too bad. These are the articles that are popping up. So changes in menstrual bleeding in women after they got the jabs. But again, in the articles, they're still telling you that it's safe and it's still okay. And there's no reason, there's absolutely no reason to not get a COVID-19 vaccine, they're telling you, after they're telling you this. It's absolutely insane. Look at this. They're telling you about evidence showing that the vaccine has no negative impact on any of these things and it is important for protecting pregnant women and their infants. This is how sick these demons are. And that's just exactly what they are. They're demons. They're demons. demons. Oh my God. Feeding on suffering and death, and the death of children, especially in utero. This one's come out a couple of days ago. Health Impact News, and I covered some of these, but they're just coming out everywhere now. So this is what's going to start happening in the industries, and I hope in the airline industry, which I covered last night, you're getting whistleblowers. So now you're getting funeral home whistleblowers. They're saying hospitals are covering up baby vaccine deaths by cremating babies themselves. Since publishing this story, we have learned that Dr. Marty Makary, a top public health expert at Johns Hopkins University, evil and satanic, dark place, has gone public with information that at the NHFDA and CDC, employees are quitting in droves over these recently approved infant COVID vaccines. Funeral home director John O'Looney, UK, was interviewed by Maria Z in Australia yesterday, where he discussed that hospitals were directly cremating babies who allegedly died after a COVID vaccine, most of them prenatal, rather than going to a funeral home. So they're just burning them, folks, and that's why they're installing these cremation centres next to these, they're going around hospitals and nursing homes and funeral homes and all like that, because it's just going to be easier to just start burning them as this intensifies and speeds up, you know. So Mr. O'Looney became a whistleblower early on in the vaccine rollouts, as he had to bury so many young, previously healthy people in their early to mid-20s shortly after receiving COVID-19 vaccines, and his embalmer was seeing things in the arteries of those who were vaccinated that he had never seen previously. So he referenced another funeral director in the UK named Wesley, who did an interview some months ago, and we have previously published that interview as well here in the article. So meanwhile, another 141 cases of COVID-19 vaccine injuries in the 6 months old through 4 years old group were added to the Vaccine Adverse Events Recording System database. What I have done is put the first 137 cases that were reported after the FDA authorized these shots for the baby in June on page one, with all the new ones added today for the pediatric age group, then on page two and page three. So there's links there. The damage being done to these young brains that are creating seizures and hallucinations is truly horrifying. Where the most common side effects being reported is neuroleptic malignant syndrome, which the Cleveland Clinic defines as neuroleptic malignant syndrome, is a rare and life-threatening reaction to the use of any neuroleptic medication. Neuroleptics, also known as antipsychotic medications, treat and manage symptoms of many psychiatric conditions. This is a whole nother side to these jabs, folks, because people who are getting these jabs are getting mentally sick as well and hearing voices and all sorts of things. This is why I keep saying. We don't know what's going to happen with these people. They're going to go bananas and attack people. What they're going to be able to place in their minds, you know. Also, massive and extensive damage being done to their digestive tracts. Diarrhea, vomiting being reported. Pancreatitis and colitis. And many other gastrointestinal problems. Other side effects being reported among babies and toddlers include anaphylactic shock, dementia, depression, lupus, Guillain-Barre syndrome, encephalitis, seizures, meningitis, and all sorts of rashes that go on and on and on. You can't even bring yourself to read these horrible things. This is one, there's old databases here. This is one example from a 14-month-old female baby in Illinois. Vaya's ID there as well. The spontaneous case was reported by a patient family member or friend and describes the occurrence or disorientation or disoriented and vomiting, throwing up four times in a row like a lot in a 14-month-old female patient who received the mRNA 1273 Moderna COVID-19 shot for COVID-19 vaccination. Patient had no allergies with medications, food, and other products. Patient was immediately monitored by her pediatrician after the adverse events. Unbelievable. There's so many patient here developed. This is a two-year-old girl. She developed sudden onset of hallucinations, visual, possibly auditory, and psychosis. Oh my God, this is a two-year-old girl. 2 years old, folks. Hallucinations, psychosis, beginning 6 hours after the jab and lasting for 7 hours, then fell asleep, reawakened with more hallucinations and psychosis 16 hours after inoculation, 6 a.m. today, lasting for another 1.5 hours. Transported to pediatric ED for psychosis hallucinations. God me. Incredible days, folks. Incredible days. This was an interesting one I didn't get to post, and I've been so busy, been up since like 6 a.m. today. So tired with all this. I have allergies like hay fever as well, and it's so windy in Sydney, but we've had this blooming of wattles and things, and it's blowing everywhere, and I've got homeopathic remedy, which absolutely helps, but it is tiring. This one from the National Pulse, study 99% of COVID-19 data websites secretly track users. And it was interesting to me because there's so many COVID-19 websites. So much based on this now. The vast majority of governmental and COVID-19 tracking websites employ third-party trackers. No, on users without consent. No, according to a new study. So the revelation comes from a recent paper measuring web cookies in governmental websites published by a cohort of European researchers funded by groups including the European Research Council and the European Union and the Spanish government. A potential risk from e-governance is that since it represents a unique point of interaction for mandatory and indispensable services for all citizens, it can unintentionally or not become a single point of monitoring and tracking for the entire population of a country, a readily available way to achieve that is with the use of web cookies, cautions the paper. The study analysed three types of websites, official governmental websites of G20 countries around the world, websites intentional organisations such as the United Nations and popular websites used for COVID-19 tracking and information. It measured these sites' use of cookies, personal data related to your browsing history that websites can retrieve at a later time. Web cookies have been exploited to collect information about users' online activities and internet interests, note the paper. Our results show that, unfortunately, tracking is a serious concern, as in some countries up to 90% of these websites create cookies of third-party trackers without any consent from users, explains a summary of the findings. Non-session cookies that are created by trackers can last for days or months after widely present, are widely present even in countries with strict user privacy laws. We also show that the above is a problem for official websites of international organizations and popular websites that inform the public about the COVID-19 pandemic. It continues. Researchers found that up to 90% of governmental websites for G20 countries, which include 19 countries and European Union comprising the world's largest economies, added tracking cookies with user consent. Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, Russia, South Korea, Turkey, and of course Australia are at the top. Interesting. Also from the national polls, did you see this wanker? I don't know what's going on here in the UK, but they're saying the would-be British PM Rishi Sunak's family runs a China-linked World Economic Forum partner company pushing digital ID and social credit scores. This guy's really British. Former British Finance Minister Rishi Sunak, a front-runner to become Britain's next Prime Minister, has family ties to a technology partner of the World Economic Forum that has advocated for a Chinese Communist Party-style economy, complete with trackable digital identities and currency, exactly what Daniel Andrews is doing. Sunak, who topped the second round of voting by Conservative members of Parliament in the Tory leadership race on July 15th following Boris Johnson's resignation, is widely considered the neoliberal or globalist candidate. The father of Sunak's wife, Akshata Murthy, is the founder of InfoSize, an Indian information technology company that provides services to host of Fortune 500 companies and banks. One of the company's leading services is Finacle, a digital banking platform. Murthy remains a foreign citizen with non-DOM, i.e. non-UK taxpaying status, of course, despite her husband's work as Britain's most senior finance chief and expectation of becoming Prime Minister. InfoSize is listed as an official partner of the World Economic Forum, which has been accused of seeking to develop the technological infrastructure to implement a global social credit score system. Unbelievable. Did you see this the other day? A lot of people were posting this one as well. They were telling us that thousands of people are going to die in the UK because of the heat wave. Did you see these articles? This one I saved from news.com.au. Unprecedented heat wave hits UK. Could spark riots and chaos. I mean, where the hell are we living, folks? Because I've looked at UK data and you know, on heat waves and stuff, and some people were posting this. They've had far greater heat waves in the past, but now they're telling you that heat waves in the UK are going to spark riots and chaos. Why would a heat wave spark a riot? This is incredible. Anyway, I just found that amazing. So they're saying the temperatures in the UK are forecast to run 10 to 15 degrees warmer than normal. With a record 40 expected for southeast England on Tuesday, and that would be today, I guess. This was from the other day, so they're saying that the high pressure that is extended over France and Spain and Portugal. I know some people have just been to Germany, and they went to Italy and France, I think, on their travels. They're fully jabbed. And I was just questioning them about their trip, and they said it's very on edge there. You know, it's like people are traveling and doing things, but you get that feeling that it's all going to come back soon as they go into their winter. And you still got to wear masks on plane. They said that the airports were pretty strict and all of this. So it hasn't gone away, folks. Of course, you got the fires in Portugal and all of this. And this is not the country's hottest temperatures, as I said. I've looked into it, and it's not. Now, the government are warning that unprecedented heat wave could spark riots. I don't know why that would be. I mean, in a heat wave, you'd be too tired to riot. You know, it's too exhausting. You're just exhausted and sweating, and it's too hot. Who's going to riot in a heat wave? Weird, isn't it? They're talking that police are urged to be ready for increases in vandalism and shoplifting and fights and theft and antisocial behaviour. As they're saying that this could cause a public meltdown. Of course, they're telling you to call 999, which is 666. UK health officials fear that hundreds or even thousands of people are going to die. There you go, folks. They're predicting mass deaths across not just the UK but Europe as well, into France and everywhere, and they're going to blame the heat. See, incredible. So now when there's heat waves, you're going to die. It's going to be mass death. See, another way to blame it on. Look at this article. Where is it that popped up today that was really strange to me? Here it is here. And keep in mind, there's so many of these articles coming out. The mainstream media are leaking. This one was from Yahoo Sports. Rugby league world in shock after star found dead in his hotel room. This doesn't make any sense. The rugby league world is mourning the death of retired English player Ricky Bibby, after he was found dead in a hotel room in Florence alongside a seriously injured woman. Staff at the Hotel Continental in Italy found the body of the 40-year-old player, 40, in his room on Saturday at about 8 a.m. A 43-year-old woman believed to be his partner was rushed to hospital with serious injuries. Staff at the hotel told the media they were alerted to the incident by the woman, who came out half-naked from the room, smeared with blood, screaming for help. Now, they're saying, according to the Mail Online, they're reporting that the ex-player suffered a seizure, but the cause of his death is yet to be confirmed. Now, what happened to Shane Warne? He hemorrhaged to death and vomited, and just blood everywhere was all over the room from the booster shot that he had. Blood everywhere. And this is what this tells me. But they're trying to hide it, you see. So he's in this hotel room traveling or whatever with his girlfriend or his partner. And then suddenly he has a massive seizure and he's coughing blood everywhere. The blood's gone all over and she's gone to get help. And they're telling you in the Italian media that they're investigating it. They've got forensic teams in the room. And all of this. So, you know, this is just crazy, isn't it? All these kinds of news articles that you're getting in there that are popping up left, right, and centre. Crazy, folks. You know? This one from the local news here in Australia as well, news.com.au. This is a new one. And this was going up on the Telegram pages as well. A Canadian woman apparently suffering from long COVID is applying for assisted suicide. A Canadian woman experiencing ongoing long COVID, meaning she's sick and dying from the jabs, and they're calling it long COVID, more than 2 years after catching the virus, bullshit, has applied for voluntary euthanasia. Tracy Thompson, a Toronto resident in her 50s, told CTV News she had begun the process of applying for medical assistance in dying, a procedure that first became legal in Canada in 2016. I'm sure that Justin Trudeau licks his little fangs and rubs his hands together like a cricket. He just loves this kind of stuff. He really gets off on this. Due to her ongoing illness and lack of support. So this is what I was saying last year. You know, when you take these jabs and you get injured, you're going to have no one to help you. The former chef has lost 26 months of income, has no foreseeable ability to return to work, and expects to run out of money in about 5 months. This is what happens, and this is what I go on and on about. The system pushes and 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 pushes you to get these jabs, and when you do and you get an injury and your life's ruined, they disappear into the darkness and you've got no help. And then if you come out and you talk about your injuries and you try to get help, the same people in the media and all these fuckwits that pushed you into getting those jabs on the TV and everything, they turn around, they stab you in the back, and they call you an anti-vaxxer. This is the scum of this world. The scum of this world. The absolute demonic filth of this planet. They make me fucking sick. All of them. They're just disgusting. But you know, hey, these people, they what can I say? This woman, Miss Thompson, said in addition to severe fatigue. She's saying that her symptoms include being unable to read books, blurred vision, difficulty with food and digestion, altered sense of taste and smell, difficulty breathing, scars on her heart from swelling due to myocarditis. But they're telling you, don't worry, that long COVID is ill-defined. It's ill-defined, folks. That's because it's made up. They're telling you that long COVID is ill-defined and it's difficult to diagnose. Can you see what these disgusting putrid parasites are doing? They're telling you because people have injuries and they're getting sick and they're becoming worse because they got those jabs and they can't get any help or any answers and there's no one that can give them any help or answers. They're telling them, hey, you got long COVID. It's just basically you had COVID before and now that's what it is. It's not the jabs. And it's just too difficult to diagnose your condition. And it's, you know, it's smoke and mirrors. It's not here or there. So sorry about that. They're telling you here that, a certain percentage of the people who got COVID years ago or whatever it was, you could just develop these symptoms, including shortness of breath, fatigue, fever, headaches, brain fog, and heart attacks. But it's not the jabs. They're telling you already today in Australia that more than 400,000 people are affected with long COVID. And that's just today, folks. So they're telling you, they're telling me, they're telling us in Australia, in my country, nearly 500,000 people already are affected with long COVID, you know, shortness of breath, chronic fatigue syndrome, fevers, headaches, brain fog, swelling of their hearts, feeling terrible, feeling like they're going to die, suicidal. They're telling you that 500,000 people already have this, and we're just going to call it long COVID. Sorry, folks. Sick, isn't it? Oh, it's beyond sick. Last article here to cover from Health Impact News. Again, that's what I was saying. This is just from a couple of days ago. The WHO are recommending masks again, prepping the world for another global lockdown. So they're definitely prepping Europe for another lockdown this winter. So the WHO is preparing the world for the next season of lockdowns, refusing to admit the emergency is over and recommending governments re-implement mask mandates. There you go. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom. I can't even read this dickhead's name, and I don't want to because he's like a disgusting pervert. He's recommending governments reintroduce the measures after everyone got the jabs. So another way that they're going to cover for the injuries, and what have I been saying from day one? What have I been saying from day one? The original inoculations will trigger the real pandemic. And as more and more people get sick, they're just going to cover it over and say that they've got these new viruses or they're continuing to get sick from the variants. And they're just going to go on and on here, man. There's no end to it. Really incredible. All I could say is that we just continue forward and we stay unjabbed and we keep our wits about us and we keep researching and studying and we don't play into this game of fear and we stay true and centered and protect ourselves and our loved ones and our children's, our family units, and we stay compact. We stay around. There's no need, as I said last night, to travel. This is coming back, so prep, just keep prepping. I will recommend again, even when they're threatening to take away our meat and everything like that, don't worry about it. If you do online shopping, for example, do it in the week, in the middle of the week when all the specials are out. Just go on to Coles online if you do that, just for example. Or if you go into the store, go in there and you'll see all the red ticketed items or whatever they are for all the specials, all the half price specials. Go on maybe once a month now and go on, if you're doing it at home and you're doing online shopping, it's still so cheap in Australia, go on and just shop for half price specials. If you spend over $200, they deliver free, I think it is anyway. And just go through all the half price stuff. And if it's all like pasta and canned beans and tuna or whatever it is and soups and these things, just keep storing it. Keep packing it away. I'm telling you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, storing all these foods. If you have a look at your cans and your beans and your things and your soups and stuff like that, have a look at the date that they go bad. You're still going to get another few years out of them. Don't worry about it. You know, noodles, rice, all this stuff. I've been making a lot of rice lately, folks, actually. You know, just rice is good food. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. Using a lot of veggies and things and just doing it simple, you know. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to if this comes down to a final hammer blow, I'm getting used to it. That's fine. These maniacs are not going to stop. And the only way to stop it is when the people stop it, and eventually it's going to get to that point. And you know, we're in for uncertain times. We really are. We really, really are in uncertain times. And if push comes to shove and things get bad and you've got all your stored items there, This makes the world a difference. I could be here all night, but I've covered it. I've covered it in previous podcasts about what all the things to save here and how we need to prep and everything. But either it's fear-mongering and it's not going to come back and they're just scaring people by keeping them on their toes, or they really are. I don't know. But, you know, I can't see anyone on planet Earth falling for this again. We've been through it and they've got the jabs and now they're going to go through it and do it all again? It's absolutely insane. I would sort of tend to think that this is all fear-mongering. It's all about fear. It's all about keeping the masses of the world in a fear state and under control. I can't see it coming back, but, you know, studying all this and looking at all the articles and everything and going over this every day, I'm still uncertain as to what they're going to try here. So I would just say to everybody, all the members, as we say every podcast, just prep and keep your house in order. Keep everything tight and under control. And get rid of all the stuff you don't need. You don't want too much around. And you don't want to get in any debt. Keep the world around you in very strict and tight order. That's the best thing to do. And prep and have everything organized. Because we're in no man's land here. No idea what these fucking maniacs are going to do. They're absolutely... And all these people in the World Health Organization, this guy... up there, and as we said, Bill Gates and all these people delivering the message, they're just actors in the game of life. They're actors. They're actors. But they're getting ready for a big, great global reset. I've got an article here from the Gray Zone before I finish. It says that they've got these documents now showing that Bill Gates has given $319 million to media outlets to promote his global agenda. So a look at the database of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation reveals how the oligarchs influencing the global pandemic response has bankrolled hundreds of media outlets to the tune of at least $319 million. Unbelievable. Up until his recent messy divorce. Bullshit, give me a break. This is a soap opera. Bill Gates. I think this is a transvestite. He's enjoyed something of a free pass in corporate media, so generally presented as a kindly nerd who wants to save the world. The Microsoft co-founder, bullshit, was even... called or christened to be Saint Bill by the Guardian newspaper. While other billionaires' media empires are relatively well known, the extent to which Gates' cash underwrites the modern media landscape is not. After sorting through over 30,000 individual grants, Mint Press can reveal that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has made over $300 million worth of donations to fund media projects. Recipients of the cash include many of America's biggest and most important news outlets, including CNN, NBC, and on The Atlantic. Gates also sponsors a massive, spider's web of foreign organizations. BBC, The Guardian, Financial Times, The Daily Telegraph in the United Kingdom. This would go into Australia as well. Goes all over Europe. And all of this, the Gates Foundation money goes towards media programs has been split up into a number of sections, presented in descending numerical orders, and includes a link to the relevant grants of the organization's website. God, massive amounts of money. The Conversation, that's an Australian one, right? Told you about this one, these dickheads. There's heaps that goes on and 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 on. There's a massive list. You can't get to the end of it, folks. Massive donations. So this is what I was saying. The Australian mainstream media and the world media is just a propaganda arm for this New World Order system. And he is just a player playing the game and using the money that they're giving him as well. And these propaganda arms employ all these columnists and journalists. You know, the Johns Hopkins University, millions from the Gates Foundation to come to their own conclusions. All these universities, Seattle University, Rhodes University, South Africa, universities, World Health Organization, universities. They also pump in millions for specific media campaigns all over the world. You know, it's absolutely unbelievable. This is a big article, folks, that I haven't posted yet. I probably will have to post this just so people can read into this. It's pretty phenomenal. It talks about altogether the Gates-sponsored media projects of nearly, you know, $320 million. Incredible. Long tentacles. And the media gatekeepers. Yeah. So it says the Gates Foundation is controlling significant chunks of our media ecosystem. You know, so when you see these media scum on the news channels, and you know, and you look at their newspapers, they're all controlled, all of them. They're just doing their job, and it goes on and on and on and on. It's unbelievable. Makes you sick, doesn't it? I'm just over my hour, folks. We'll chat again soon. Take care. Thanks for your support. Stay positive. Look after yourself. Keep healthy. Stay out of the medical system. Stay off flights. Keep your wits about you. Look after yourselves, your family, your loved ones, your kids. Stay in charge and in control. As we move forward here, we are in dark, uncharted waters. And the best thing to do is stay in charge and in control of your family unit and in charge of your life. And make sure that everything is accounted for and everything's airtight. Be meticulous. And keep prepping. Doesn't matter how much you've got. It's just cans and packets. It doesn't matter. If worse comes to worse, and you can live for 6 months or a year on beans and rice and some sauces and bottles of wine, and you got water and things like that, and matches and torches and everything you need, it's such basic stuff to start storing away. Do it, because we're in crazy times. This is insane. But don't be in a fear state, because fear feeds the system. Stay positive. Ignore their rules and their regulations. Don't buy into them. Anyone tells you to do anything related to COVID, walk straight over the top of them. Do not allow the fear into your life, and move forward and be positive and be true. We'll chat again on the next one. Take care.